last week and let you know we were going to have a little discussion this week. And I've got a special guest that's going to come tonight and kind of have a discussion with me, and we'll share some things. Plus the fact that we're going to have, it's not up there yet, but we're going to have a number on the screen tonight as we're discussing basically the voice of God and prophecy and so forth, where you can text in questions to us, and they're going to come right here on this iPad. I can't guarantee we're going to answer every one of them or even take every one of them, but the bottom line is we do want to have them there, and if they're appropriate to where we're headed, we're going to address them tonight. So please text them to us, and we'll have them on record so that even in future weeks we can deal with some of those questions as more appropriate placement for those questions might be. So do us a favor. Let us know what's on your heart, what's on your mind, and what you'd like to know about, and we'll try and address it if at all possible. But my special guest tonight is Katie Level. I first met Katie when I think you were in junior high when I was over at your house one time. My sister and brother-in-law lived adjacent to their house, and I got to meet her. I think she was a little junior higher at the time. This is really embarrassing for me. I'm an old guy now. But Katie, come on. I love this gal. And, you know, she comes from three generations of people that really made it their life's work and desire to hear the voice of God and minister in prophetic and spiritual gifts. And her grandparents were awesome. Her mom and dad are awesome as well. And she is coming right along in their footsteps, and she's doing great. And so she's my panel expert tonight. And so we're gonna talk and share. So please give us your questions. Katie, let's take a seat, and we will get going tonight. Basically, what we want to talk about, that's your microphone. Yeah,
hello?
It's a powerful one. Okay. And what we're going to talk about tonight is based on, I would say, probably more than just about prophecy. It's going to be about most of the rest of the spiritual gifts. The one we talked about first, tongues, is a gift that basically doesn't respond the same way. It's of the Spirit, but tongues are a little bit different than the rest of the gifts. When we come to prophecy and word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discernment of spirits, and then the word of faith, healings and miracles, all of these things basically have a prophetic kind of base to them. In other words, we're hearing from God. Prophecy literally means to hear from God or to speak for God. And so all these other gifts are kind of clumped together in this particular genre where we're hearing from the Lord and sharing what we're hearing from Him. And so as we talk about all of this, it's going to apply to not only prophecy, but to word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and so forth. And so please understand that's why we're not just talking about prophecy tonight, because it's all in the same family. This is what we call a speaking gift. It's also a knowing gift, and we'll share those. There's three different kinds of gifts we talked about in the gift clusters. One is to speak, one is to know, and one is to act. And in every case, it comes in a prophetic fashion as God puts something in our heart, and we try and share that. And so it's awesome. It's awesome, and it's something for every one of us as born-again believers. And so we're going to talk about those things tonight. But I kind of wanted to just start, Katie, by asking you, what God's voice sounds like to you. How do you begin to identify that when the Lord's speaking?
Well, first of all, I am no expert per se. This is just a woman speaking from my journey into the heart of God through my life, and just some of the things that He's spoken to me and some of my experiences in that. From a practical standpoint, His voice, usually we hear three voices. We hear God's voice, who I have found it always speaks to identity. His voice always talks about who you really are, what you were created, what He has created you to do. It speaks to your destiny and your purpose, and it always sounds like love and truth. And then there's our voice, and it usually always sounds like self-preservation. It's all about me. What will help me most in positioning myself to make me feel good? What will make me look the best? What will elevate me? What makes me feel comfortable? Mm-hmm. then there's the enemy's voice, and his voice is lies. He's the father of lies. It's the lies that contradict the identity and the truth of who you are, what you were called for. His voice always brings guilt. It always brings shame, condemnation. And in my experience, it usually always brings up past failures, past mistakes, past sin. And he uses those as an example for why you should stay where you are and not go any further, where God's called you to further, more. Do you want me to give kind of an example of that?
Yeah, let me add to that last point there. I will also say we have evidence in the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness that the enemy often, too, if you have that kind of a personality, will push you beyond and come at your ego. You know, if you're the Son of God, jump off this pinnacle and the Lord will bear you up unless you dash your foot against the stone. So there is that side. If your personality goes that way, that he'll give you stuff that will advance your ego-driven ideals and so forth and so on. So that's true as well. But I think the primary thing is the accuser. Yeah. But he will definitely do this other thing too. But go ahead and tell your story.
Just for me, an example of what those three things look like in my own life, those three voices. So an example in my own life, I was in the doctor's office. My mom went through treatment through chemotherapy. And I remember one time she was getting treatment and I was in there with her. And the Lord highlighted somebody to me. And I knew that I was to pray for them. I knew I was to go over there and really just more or less what he had said was just, I want you to go over there and pray for them and tell them how much I love them. Pretty simple, right? And in that, in his voice in that, immediately came my voice. And this is a part of self-preservation. And my voice said, if you're going to go over there, they're going to think you're super weird. And maybe it'd be a good idea. Now, I know some of us in church have felt this way at different times. Maybe it'd be a good idea if I just stay here and I pray for them right here. Because there's no distance in the spirit. So I'm pretty sure that God said for me to pray for them and declare over them from right here, and he's going to do the work. So I know that he'll just heal her across the room, but it doesn't require that. My voice, my self-preservation doesn't require any movement. And I believe for me, there are times that the Lord wants our yes. Yep. And sometimes our yes looks like movement. It looks like a step to say, yes, I hear you. And then the enemy came in that example and said, remember the last time that you did that for this person? Remember the last time the Lord told you to do that and you prayed for them and nothing happened?
Mm-hmm.
And he's used that one with me often.
Can we take a vote and see how many times that's happened out here? Yeah, I thought so.
Or when you pray, your voice doesn't sound like that. When you declare the word over them, it doesn't sound like so-and-so. You sound stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You should just stay where you are. You should stay where you are. In my life, a lot of the time, the enemy's voice always comes and says, stay where you are. Stay. Don't move.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. I wanted to just add an addendum to the first part there about God's truth. He cannot speak other than speaking out of truth. I mean, we need to understand that. And so you never have to worry that when it's really God's voice that somehow it's inerrant, that it's errant or anything like that. And let me give you a couple of descriptives of how it has been for me. When God speaks, it seems that there is a resonant quality to it. In the scripture, it talks about the glory of the Lord. And in the Old Testament, the word kabod, which means weighty. It's weighty. It's something that when it lands in your heart, it doesn't just kind of go away. It doesn't just evaporate. When God's word lands with you, it has a gravity to it. And it's hard to shake it. Even if it's not what you want to hear. And amazingly enough, it has this other component that when he settles that thing into your heart, it brings some joy and peace. It's just kind of like settled. I mean, it reminds me of when fog, like was it this morning or yesterday? Yesterday morning, maybe whenever it was, that the fog just settled in everywhere. And it changed the feel and the look of the world around us. It just settles in. And when God begins to speak to you, he changes the whole emotional, spiritual environment in such a way that it leaves an impression that just does not evaporate away. And the other thing along with that is so many people get caught up in this thing. When God speaks, they think it has to happen right now. In other words, it's urgent. You better do it right now. And let me just say, God never forgets to tell you early enough to confirm it to you. When God speaks, there's time to deal with it. He's never late. You know, and so just understand that you are not obligated to just run at something, especially when it's decision-making time. In the case of what Katie was mentioning there, you kind of need to do it in the time frame that the Lord's talking about. But what I'm talking about is those urgent things. Kind of reminds me of the salesman, today only. You know, you've got 30 minutes and you got to make a decision. Well, I made my decision. No, because God just does not work that way. And so anyway, just a couple of things there. The other thing is there's an assuring tone when God speaks. There's just something that settles into your heart and you know, it's a command, but it's also an invitation. And the other thing about that is I always am wary when there's these big, long things. God doesn't expect us to remember 7 chapters at once. He usually works on a command basis and a direction basis. And it's for now, and it usually is something that is fairly brief, so you won't forget it. And when you get these big, long words, people give you these big, long words, you're not going to remember a third of that. And God seems to be very good. If you read the Bible, when he talks to people, usually it's pretty brief, it's pretty to the point, and it's hard to mistake what he's saying. So. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This may seem pretty simple, but I just want to say, everyone in here hears his voice. So whatever lie, even in this moment, that is telling you, well, that's great, Pastor, or that's great for you, because clearly you hear his voice, or clearly you've had an experience where you hear his voice. Me, not so much. I don't know. No, you do. Mm-hmm. You hear his voice. Yeah. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And if you know him, this is all about intimacy with him. It's all about connection to his heart. And you do. So I just wanted to kind of
put that out there. I agree with that. John talks about that. My sheep hear my voice, and they know me. I got a question here, Katie, that as a mom you might want to address. What do you say to your kids when they say, God doesn't speak to me?
I say just what I told you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've had this before. About mom, you know, I don't hear him or I don't see him. And we stand on the truth. So I know that that's a lie. And I take them back to the word where it says, my sheep hear my voice, and countless other scriptures that talk about us, our connection to the Father, when we have received Jesus into our life to hear his voice clearly. And I look at them and say, yes, you hear him. And then we walk through some of the practical things that, like I talked about, what does his voice sound like? What, you know, it's not just a one-pat answer. Mm-hmm. All of what we're talking about isn't the ABCs, the 1, 2, 3, 10-step program to hearing God clearly. It's just not. This is all about connection to his heart. It's all about an intimate walk with the Father and knowing him and him knowing you and walking in friendship and relationship with God. And I think a lot of times, especially in our culture and our society, we want the 5 steps. Give me the 5 steps to hear. Give me the 5 steps to see. It's a journey in relationship, just like I have relationship with my children or my spouse. He wants that connection. He wants that relationship. He wants to hear your voice as much as you want to hear his voice. And so, yeah, I take them on a journey. I tell them that it is a journey to hearing, and then begin to walk through some more practical steps. And we practice. We practice together hearing him. Real practical, I have them close their eyes. My son's sitting on the front row, so he knows it well. I have them close their eyes, and we ask the Lord to speak. And then I look at them and say, all right, what did you hear him say? And they will tell me, or they'll write it down. And then we'll walk through that together.
Katie, let's address the varieties of ways that the Lord speaks to people, because not everybody's the same. And in any relationship, we all know this, that somebody could give us a gift that knows us really well, and it might not mean a thing to anybody else, but it means something to us. And the Lord is so intimate that he wants to speak to your spirit. Things that really touch you, he knows the best. And so I think sometimes we get pretty narrow in the way we think God can speak, but he can use all kind of different things. Have you had an experience like that where something that didn't mean anything to anybody else was really powerful for you?
Yeah, I feel like I have experiences like that often. If you want to know the truth, I think we can miss them. We can miss the moments a lot if we're not looking for him. Again, this goes back to connecting to his heart. He wants everything. He wants all of us. And it is a love relationship with him. And I was just telling my friend the other day, I said, it's funny, but when we look for him in everything, we find him in everything. The Lord said, ask, seek, knock, and the door will be open to you. And so when I'm looking for him, when there is a constant awareness in my spirit and my heart of what are you doing today? What are you up to today? What do you want to say to me today? What do you want to show me today? What are we doing today? Then everywhere I turn, there he is. Everywhere I look, oh my gosh, nobody would get that, but I see you, Lord. I see you in that thing, that book title of the person sitting eating next to me at the restaurant that kind of looked a little like what we talked about this morning. I see you there. And it looks different for everybody. He is a living expression, and his expression is through you and me. And there's no one of us that's alike. And I think he loves to speak even in the things that he created us for, our gifts, our desires, the things we enjoy.
I agree with that. Somebody asked a question here. When was the first time you overcame the fear, the first time you stepped out? What did you do over this problem that so many face?
First of all, I'm still overcoming the fear from day to day. No. I would say, gosh, one instance. I think that there's always a little bit of that. If you want to know the truth, even me sitting up here tonight, there's always a little bit of a, ooh. But he has my yes. So I guess the question would be, does he have your yes, your whole yes? Mm-hmm. does he have your yes? Because if he has your yes, then everything else fades away. If you know him and you love him, you know that he's never going to let you down. He's never going to abandon you. He's never going to hurt you because he's good. And the things he has for you are good. So whether, yeah. And the things he has for others are good. And if he wants me to be a part of that, there is kind of this part in me, which is just, I think, the way he made me. But there's this part in me that I know he'll use somebody else to do it because that's who he is. But I don't want somebody else to do what my father asked me to do.
Yeah.
I don't want somebody else to step in the place he asked me to step into because I want all of him. I want all of him, and I want all that he has for me.
You know, when we pray, as we're taught to pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, why would we be surprised when the Lord deputizes us to bring that about? It's an amazing thing that he wants to involve us in what he's about. And then I can just say this, the initial breaking out of ourself happens a lot of times because God gives you the burning desire to do it. Many of you, if you've ever prophesied or given a message in tongues or done something like that in a service, your pulse rate goes up. You just feel like you're going to blow up, and you feel like I've got to share this. And obviously, the spirit of the prophet, subject to the prophet, you don't have to share it. But the bottom line of it is, you begin to get hungry to share it. And I recall, you know, nobody was more backward than me. When the Lord got a hold of me and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was the worst in front of people. I couldn't do it. But when the breakthrough came, the Lord gave me such a hunger to do it that I had the momentum to overcome that stay right there feeling. And when you do that, it's so fulfilling. And you don't have to do it in front of 500 people. You can do it from day to day. And this is where I learned how often God was speaking to me. When I was at the church in Phoenix, I had a very large couples group, about 200 couples, and I would go through my list of my group, and the Lord would often highlight a name to me, or I'd wake up in the morning with somebody on my mind, and I started following up on that and learning and checking myself out. Am I hearing from God, or is that just me? Is that a gift of suspicion, or is that really the Lord? And sure enough, almost every time, the emotion that I felt for that person or that name that came up, if I would call them on the phone that day, it was amazing. They'd break into tears. I can't believe you're calling me today. This is really, you know. And I soon learned, man, oh, man, how many times am I missing it because I just write it off as a thought or errant feeling that I've got somewhere. So check it out. When God gives you something or something just kind of sticks with you and it doesn't just go right through your mind and out and you get on to the next thing, if that thing sits with you for a while, check it out. You'll be amazed at how often you find that it was the Lord. God was speaking to you and maybe answering the prayer you'd prayed about the kingdom coming and his will being done. He said, I'm deputizing you to deal with that. But when you do, it's amazing that just the flow that you feel going through you, and often you'll find there's a hunger that begins to build right before the Lord asks you to do something. So that's my experience.
I was just going to add something to that because this is all a part of that. When I first was just asking the Lord, even before tonight, what is it, Lord? What does your voice sound like? I mean, I know for myself, but apart just from my head knowledge and what I know, what is it that your voice sounds like? And immediately the verse that came to me was Revelation 1:15, and it's, his feet were gleaming like bright metal as though they were glowing in a fire, and his voice was like the roar of many rushing waters. And just on my initial, you know, and this is kind of how the Lord and I dialogue, but I was like, Lord, That's not very practical. But when I dug a little bit deeper, water's there. It's not necessarily describing the sound of his voice. It is. But it's actually emblematic of a multitudes of people. In Daniel 10:6 is a similar verse, and it says the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And so what the Lord was saying to me in that moment was, his voice sounds like you. His voice sounds like me and Pastor. His voice is us completely surrendered in him, dead to our sin and our flesh, and expressing his truth and love through a place of radical obedience, trusting that he is bigger in you than you think. And then immediately, everything that kept coming after that was like all of these scriptures in my mind that that were hidden in my heart about water. John 7:38. Then on the most important day of the feast, the last day, Jesus stood and shouted out to the crowds, "All you thirsty ones, come to me and drink. Believe in me so that the rivers of living water will burst out from within you, flowing from your innermost being," just like the scripture says. Rivers of living water, his voice, who he is, the very nature of Christ, flowing from your belly, flowing out of your mouth, out of your hands, out of your feet. Whew, Jesus.
Yeah.
Flowing from the place that he has seated us. Revelation 22:1. Then the angel of the Lord showed me the river of the water of life, flowing with water clear as crystal, continuously pouring out from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Ephesians 2:6. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. For we are now co-seated as one with Christ. That is the living water. Us taking our seat in him so that that sound, that rushing sound, that water can come out.
Amen. Amen. One of the things that I feel would be maybe helpful to us right now as well is a lot of people get into a crisis mode when they're trying to hear from God. And what I'd like to suggest, and maybe we could kind of address this a little bit, is it shouldn't just be when I need an answer. It shouldn't just be when I have to have an answer that I start asking to hear from God. This is a relationship. And so much is gained in relationship. I mean, I've been married for 35 years, and I know what Judy's thinking when I see her face. I heard the inflection of her voice. I know her well enough to know that I don't need to ask certain questions. How many of you can say amen? And there has to be an ongoing relational discussion going on. And Matt, might I add, maybe my biggest problem is, and maybe you can join me here, is I go to him with my issues. I want him to speak to me about what I want to hear about. But devotional time is where I am quiet and let him lead me into what he's interested in. And I can honestly say that that has been the most fruitful experience in my life, is spending time in the scriptures with an open heart and no agenda and just trying to wait for God to highlight something for me. And it's so amazing how that happens. And that kind of comfort that you have, that he's going to speak to you if you're open, gives you courage. And plus the fact it draws you into that experience more often. You want to open that Bible and you want to spend some time when you're not just getting your daily Bible reading out of the way so you can get on with your day. There just is that open channel there that is so powerful when we cultivate that kind of a lifestyle. Have you had a kind of a similar nudging from the Lord on that?
So I'm a mom of three, and I have a two-year-old who is very two, who's awesome at two. And I'm in the throes of that. And so I know whatever season of life you're in, for me, man, like I really wish it looked like 3 hours, like in the prayer closet, to really just soak all of that in with the Father. But it doesn't look like that for me right now. It just doesn't. And so I kind of wanted to speak to that place of where you find yourself, whether it's working crazy hours or you're momming real hard or whatever it looks like. This goes back to a place of constant awareness, removing the distractions, asking the Lord, asking Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see, open your ears to hear him. So whether you're driving in the car on your commute to work, or you know, you got a toddler pulling on your leg and you're at you're at the sink, or whatever that looks like for you, there is a constant awareness and there is a turning of your heart, and it's simple. It really is that simple. It's just directing your heart and beginning to turn your focus to him and asking him to remove those distractions, that you would hear him clearly, that you would see him clearly. And honestly, sometimes that will go into a place where the Holy Spirit, if you invite him, he's going to show you things. He's going to show you things, even maybe areas of unforgiveness, maybe areas of things in your life that you need to ask the Lord for forgiveness for and repent about, so that there's not any hindrance.
Yeah.
And that has happened to me as well. But there is just a place of turning. Just begin to just turn. You don't even have to close your eyes. We're so accustomed to the way it looks of what we've known maybe in church, or maybe you've never been in church and it doesn't look like anything. It's just a turning of your heart to him. Mm-hmm. It really is that simple.
Yeah. I think one of the big ones is... we need to be obedient to the truth we know before we start asking for new truth. In other words, if the Lord, what did the Lord speak to us the last time we heard his voice? Is he dealing with us about something we needed to do? Sometimes we get so enamored with hearing the voice of God that we forget that I'm supposed to do what he said. So it's important that if we read in the scripture where we're supposed to have this kind of behavior and to turn away from that kind of behavior and to do this or that or the other thing, if we don't do that, how many of you have found that when somebody ignores you, when you ask them something, or when if you're at work and the boss gives you an assignment and you don't do that assignment, do you notice it gets a little frosty? Do you notice that the communications take on a different tenor? And why would it be any different from the Lord? He doesn't just bring things up to have a discussion. He brings things up so that we'll obey him. And so it's very critical that if we're going to have that open flow with the Lord, that we must be obeying the last thing he told us. Because he's not going to move on from that, more than likely, until we do become obedient to that thing. And so that's been one of the things I've noticed over the years. I've been, personally, maybe I get angry with somebody or something like that, and I don't want to drop it. But I'm amazed at the fact that the Lord won't let me go there. He won't let me stay in that place until I have forgiven that person and I get on with it, because that's a standing order that we have. And so we don't get to ignore those things and then just pick it up and keep hearing and relating and moving in these things like we'd like. There comes a blockage. We grieve the Holy Spirit at times. So, big important deal. got a couple of things here. Here's a good question, and this is in the practical side of things. How do we deal with life? When close friends are making decisions based on what they feel the Lord is telling them, but you feel God is saying something different, how can you know who's hearing clearly? And what would be the role of a friend in that situation? Care to tackle that one?
You want me to tackle that
one? Sure, tackle that one.
Okay. That's a bit of a tough one. But I would say, unless you know that you are, how do I put this? Clearly hearing for a friend, ultimately it comes down to them hearing from the Lord for themselves. This is right. Their journey. It's not your journey with the Lord.
Right.
I think that you can, depending, I mean, there are so many different contexts that could fall in, but I think depending on where it's leading, you could maybe guide or direct them into wise counsel or whatever that is if you feel it's a real negative path. But ultimately, if they really feel they're hearing from the Lord, it's their journey with the Lord. That would be...
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It has to do a lot of times with what's your role in this thing. I mean, if you don't have a dog in the fight, all you can do basically in a situation like that is offer your opinion. The Lord may be speaking to you. He may not be, because his major obligation is to the person that he's speaking to, not to the audience. And so when we see somebody making a decision and we feel in our heart convicted maybe that that they need to take this or that into consideration, we might want to approach it that way rather than, well, God's telling me something different. You might want to just go at the situation trusting, like we said before, God's word has a tendency to settle in and become a factor. And so if you share with them your belief or your feeling or your sensitivity, say, this is kind of what I'm feeling when I pray about this, make sure you have prayed about it. But when you do and that thing settles in with you, you might just couch it under the understanding that this is what I'm feeling when I'm praying for you, and I just want to share it with you so that it'll either confirm or whatever with what you're feeling, and you take it into consideration, but it's your choice, it's your life, and God wants to speak to you about that. I'm just here to support you, and if I feel I need to share that, I will. And that's as far as I'd want to go with it.
I would say on the flip side of that too, if they do choose to go a certain way and it turns out to be awful and everything you told them it was going to be,
yeah,
it's not your place to go back and say, well, God told me that that's how it was going to turn out.
Right.
Just to, I mean, not that any of you or me would do that. but it's true.
That's such a blessing when you do that, though, isn't it?
Right.
Everybody's blessed. It's edified, exhorted, and comforted right there, all in one. That's a big, you know, that's pretty much where we live, isn't it? I mean, when we're in community with people, there is a likelihood that that's going to happen to us. Or if we show wisdom in life, people are going to consult with us. And it's a hard thing sometimes when you're just about dead sure that they're off base. But I don't know about you. If you can talk them out of it, maybe you should. But often you can't, because when we start, and let me say this: be careful about saying the Lord told me about everything. The Lord isn't talking to everybody about everything. Primarily, he's talking to the people that need to hear it. And so I've had people come to me in counseling situations, and then they say, well, the Lord's telling me this. What do you think? Really? I mean, why are you asking me if the Lord's already told you? We throw that around too much. And anything the Lord says, we need to wait until we have confirmation before we just nail it down and say, the Lord told me. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And it's important. And the urgency thing I talked about a while ago, somebody probably misunderstood me. They said, well, Peter was urgent when he asked the Lord about jumping out of the boat. Well, no, he really wasn't. He says, Lord, bid me come to you. There's no urgency most of the time, but there's a time to act too. But here's the thing. We need to be the people that have a confidence in God to be able to communicate to us about major things so that we literally take our time in consideration. Multitude of counsel is important, but all counsel isn't spirit counsel. Some of us have gotten some really bad advice in the name of the Lord at times. And I've lived long enough around this to tell you that no matter how many times people say, yeah, 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 and verily, this is the word of God for you, you need to check it out for yourself. And the Lord will confirm it in the mouth of two or three witnesses, and he will make you know down here. And you are not obligated to obey any word until down here you have faith. Absolutely, until you have faith. And that's what happens when God speaks to you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's can be dicey if we don't. We were talking about this last night. It's a serious thing to tell somebody the Lord says this or that.
Yeah.
You want to address what we talked about that?
I think sometimes, especially, I think, and just even in the church culture, church age that we're in now, of just there's been a lot of, you know, movement in the prophetic and hearing God's voice and acting on that, which is all so good. And I am such an advocate, clearly, of practicing the prophetic. That's how you learn. That's how my children learn. And I think within even life groups, or even within this kind of setting is a safer place to do that. But we are held accountable for what we speak. And I think, you know, Gary talked about the weightiness that when the Lord speaks that comes. And we do need to be held accountable for what we are saying that is coming from the Lord. And again, I can't say this enough. It all flows from intimacy with the Father. If you are walking in one with him, if you are walking in him and by him and in his love, then the outflow of that is his voice, is his love, is his truth to you and to those around you. And it does. You begin to see, oh, when I'm in this place with him, oh my gosh, I think maybe when I was talking to that person, I think I might have just given them a prophetic word. You may not even know that it was a prophetic word. There are so many portions of my life growing up and that I said something to somebody, or I think you even had told me one time, like, man, I feel like you really have a gift of encouragement. And it looked like encouragement. Sometimes that's what it looks like. It looks like encouraging somebody. The Lord spoke to me that day in the doctor's office to go tell a woman that he loved her. She was literally all hooked up to all of these tubes and all of these things. And what did he want to say to the woman that day? You know, I was like, I mean, I just gave you the example that I wasn't really like that. But in my mind, I was like ready to go and pray over her. But the Lord was like, tell her that I love her. That's it. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. I wanted you to say, I love you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That the Lord loves you, to tell that woman. And so I am accountable for anything that I added beyond that or took away from that. And so I would say, if you are on the receiving end or you're on the giving end, don't carry around offense.
Yep.
If somebody gets it wrong,
yep.
If they tell you wrong, don't walk around and say, well, my life is screwed up because this person gave me this word. No, it doesn't work that way, because we walk in intimacy with the Father. We walk in relationship, and we're all accountable for our relationship and our intimate walk with him and hearing his voice. And sometimes, you know, probably in the past or maybe in the future, there are going to be times that people get it wrong, because we're people, and we don't always get it right. But don't hold offense to that person. And if you're on the giving end, don't be like, well, they just didn't hear. They just don't hear God's voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The offense goes both ways.
Yeah, sure does. You know, here in 1 Corinthians 14, It says, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. There is this accountability. There's this learning atmosphere. And, you know, no one, you know, becomes the prophet Samuel right out of the womb. You know, I mean, it's, you have to walk in this and you have to become acclimatized to the things of the Spirit. And, I think it's in Timothy or somewhere. I didn't write it down tonight, but it says, you know, don't despise prophecy. Don't despise prophesyings. And over here in verse 39, it says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. And the emphasis there is to let all things be done. And it needs to be a learning environment. And here's the thing. We need to be in an environment where, you know, we can risk and where there are people that are maybe even more seasoned than we are that can help us if we get off base, you know. If you don't know the Bible, you might slip into some false teaching or false ideas or things that are beyond you. And that's why Romans says, prophesy according to the measure of faith. You know, what you have, that's your basis from what you work. But we have to all be in community. And we have to show some grace to each other as we practice this, because it's going to happen first in our relationships most of the time. And we'll share something with somebody that's really on our heart, and they may just break down. I mean, you may just literally read their mail, and it's pretty exciting. But at the same time, sometimes when you do, it's like, they're just like this. They don't get it. They don't receive it. And you just kind of say, well, that couldn't have been God, and maybe you stop. But the whole thing is that what God is doing in us needs to be shared. And we need to have an atmosphere where we can hear each other, where we can encourage each other and embrace each other at whatever stage we're at. But the bottom line is, the Lord says, desire earnestly to prophesy. This is an encouraging blessing to the congregation. And it happens so often just among friends. And as we see that we're effective and we see that the Lord is giving us things, he's probably, as we're faithful with what little he gives us, he'll make us ruler over much. And God wants us to be on the beam with him. He wants us to be able to respond instantaneously when he's speaking to us.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that. Pursue the gifts, absolutely. Yeah. Pursue them. They're our birthright. It's who you are. It is an overflow. But pursue him.
Yeah.
Pursue him. I'll say it again. He is everything. He is everything. There is nothing apart from him. There is nothing for us apart from him. Relationship with him, feeling his love, encountering his goodness, encountering his presence. It is a tangible thing. It is. It's something that you can feel. He created all of our senses, all five senses.
Yeah.
He didn't just create those just because. He created all of them so we could connect to his heart. Every part in nature, in art, in all of these things. There are so many ways he wants to speak to us. And it connects us to his heart. Speaking his voice to others. It all goes back to connecting to his heart for them. Early on when I was like pursuing the gifts and I was all about the gifts, and the Lord was like, come into me. Come into my heart. I want to be one with you. And while the gifts are such a part of that and such an overflow, pursue him with everything that you are and everything that you have. Because he is worth it. Yeah. He is. And it will be the wildest ride. It'll be the greatest adventure of your life. It is your life.
Yeah. That's so good. That's so good. Amen. Well, we are over time just a little bit, but it's so good. See, I told you to go fast. But I think it would be really appropriate for us tonight, where it says desire earnestly spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Have you ever asked? And we need to. These are tools by which God invades places that need light instead of darkness, healing instead of disease, encouragement instead of depression. And it's ours. It's our turf. And so we want to be those people. And so I'm going to ask you to stand tonight, and we're going to pray about this, and then we're going to pray for the little prayer request that you probably have. And Katie, get your mic back, because I want you to pray over us tonight. And just bless the people, and just pray that God would just begin to do this thing so that it's noticeable to their heart and to their mind. In Jesus' name.
If I could just ask you just to raise your hand if this is something that you are really just pursuing the heart of the Father and the gifts and just really wanting more.
God.
It's pretty much everybody in here.
Good.
God, Jesus.
Father, I thank you now. Every distraction of the enemy is gone, is moving, is leaving this place.